you find that you're sometimes shocked by the disrespect that kids show adults today? Dr. Kevin Lehman says we really need to address their behaviour, and maybe the best place to start is by minding our own.
I always think it's sort of fun to think about what would happen if you treated guests in your home like you treat your own children. You have a couple guests, a couple families from your church come over for dinner, and they sit down to the dinner table, and you turn to them and say, "Did you wash your hands before you came to the dinner table?" Or maybe they leave something on the plate. They hadn't finished their dead chicken parts that you served them. And you say to them, "You're not going to leave that there, are you? Do you know there are families over in Bangladesh that would just die for that food?" You wouldn't say that to your company, but you'd say it to your kids. We take license with our kids. And I'm just telling you that they need to see your heart. And your heart has to be a loving heart at all times.
Nice by the author of the book our current series is based on, Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down. I'm Vincent Hughes, and along with Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh, you're very welcome to Family.ie, the third programme in our five-part series. We've all seen plenty of examples of dysfunctional families, and while television and films are constantly striving to portray what they claim is quote-unquote reality, you could almost get the impression that a functional family is only a fairy tale. But is it? We'll explore that question and more on today's programme. But first, Heather, why don't we begin by looking back briefly on what we've covered in our series so far?
Yes, we talked about parenting not being for wimps, that you have to be an intentional parent. And I love that phrase, intentional parenting, because, you know, it's not any accident that we have children in front of us and that we've been given charge of them to raise these children. And we need to be intentional about our parenting.
I love that, Heather. Parenting is not for wimps.
No, absolutely.
Yes. Strangely enough, we're all very, very familiar with the phrase, "Oh, he comes from a dysfunctional family." And not enough time is spent on telling us what actually constitutes a functional family.
Yes, Dr. Lehman says, you know, for a family to be functional, the basic psychological needs of an individual within that family need to be met. That's a need to be loved and accepted, to be secure and relatively free of threat, to belong and feel part of a group, to be approved and recognised for the way in which one functions, that, you know, the uniqueness that makes up that particular individual, and in the course of their life's journey to move towards independence, responsibility and good decision making. And that is the job of parents, to make sure that that's happening for their children. Dr. Lehman says in his book that there are a number of rules, if you like, that can come into play, that if these rules are applied and working in the family, then the family functions well and becomes a healthy family. And those rules are to be firm and fair in your dealing with your children, ask and give respect, learn from your mistakes, what you see is what you get, and real love includes limits, and we walk, we don't just talk our values. So those six issues, Vincent, we're going to talk through in the course of this conversation today.
Okay, well then, where better to start than at number one? Be firm but fair.
Firm but fair is a very, very important rule, and children love fairness. They like everything to be fair. Now, one of the things that my family, if they were listening to this program, they'd say, "But you've taught us life is not fair." And certainly life is not fair. But in your house, you can make things as fair as is possible. So fair to that child doesn't mean fair that everybody gets treated the same. It means that you're firm but fair with that particular child and their particular needs at that time. We have to remember to treat all our children as individuals. When you take the firm but fair approach, you have a great deal of flexibility. And the most important thing is that it allows your children to fail. They don't have to be perfect. Children that grow up with that expectation that they always have to get everything right and get A's in all their grades and, you know, distinctions in their piano exams and all the rest, are under a huge amount of pressure. But being firm but fair allows people freedom to think, it allows them to fail, it allows them to ask questions, and it allows them to disagree, which is a great thing, because I know I wasn't really ever encouraged to disagree with my parents. Their word was law. Yeah. So if we allow our children some freedom, they then can express their feelings in an appropriate way.
So being firm but fair, it obviously avoids rigidity and gives you the opportunity to bend a little and be flexible.
That's it. And I mean, if you're a strict parent like I am, then you may not allow an awful lot of dissent, but children have got to be allowed to articulate and express and learn to articulate their thoughts, their feelings. And if you can, you know, you allow them to say, "Look, I can see that you're upset," or "I can see that you're angry," because this happens. Mm. You know, they get annoyed, they get irritable, etc. But there are still rules, and there's still standards. So we don't, you know, make life unpleasant for them because they had an emotional reaction to something. We allow them to for that to happen, but to still say, look, here's a rule, here's a standard, and we're going to be firm about that. But at the same time, we're going to be fair to you and fair to the others that are in the home as well. So, I mean, if you're going around shouting and roaring and slamming doors, that's affecting everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But those things happen. So, I mean, it's not saying that, look, things don't get off track from where you want them to be because emotions come into play and those are real issues. But we deal with people fairly and firmly in addressing those issues.
Can I just revert briefly to something that you mentioned a little while ago? The golden rule of parenting is treat your kids as you would want to be treated.
Yeah.
Not sure I agree with that. Surely the manner in which you treat your children, the yardstick surely is not treat them as they treat you.
True, but I mean, the roles are different, Vincent. I mean, the parent has their primary responsibility and they're an adult, so they obviously have to raise up and educate the children in how to behave reasonably and sensibly and learn to take responsibility and make good decisions and so on. That's the job of the parents. But if the child is treated disrespectfully...
Okay.
You know, that is not fair to that child. Like, if you disrespect them by saying, well, you're only a child, or what would you know, and you're always making mistakes, or you're no good, or whatever, those sort of things parents shouldn't be saying to their children, you know, because it depreciates their sense of self-worth and it disrespects them. That's an entitlement, if you like, for all the people in the home to be treated fairly and respectfully. And parents need to treat their children, in a sense, in the way that they would like to be treated by their children.
Absolutely. And their children are often very disrespectful to their parents. Now, we don't want to be treated like that, if any of you are listening. Mm-hmm. Parents don't want to be treated disrespectfully.
Yeah.
But we can lead the way. We can pattern and we can model what we want, the way we want our children to grow up, mm-hmm. by behaving like that. You know, there's a little phrase that says, your actions speak so loud that the world can't hear what you're saying. So there's no point in us saying, you know, be respectful to people if we're not respectful to our own children.
That's a great point. As someone has rightly said, we need to really see and treat our children not as little kids, but as future adults. We'll take just a quick break now, but Stephen and Heather, let's talk more about the key that helps open the door to a functional home. This word that keeps popping up, respect. You're listening to family.ie, and we're only getting started today on this third of our five-part series, Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down, based on the book by Dr. Kevin Lehman. You can find many of his resources and loads more on our website, family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie as we continue our discussion on bringing up kids without tearing them down. Today we're asking the question, what does a functional family actually look like? Heather and Stephen, before the break, a word came up in the conversation that seems to be a recurring theme, respect.
Yeah, I mean, it is a two-way street. And as Heather has just said, you know, our modelling of the behaviour produces the sort of outcomes. And if we find that a disrespectful behaviour is generally the pattern, then you ask yourself the question, am I modelling disrespectful behaviour the way I treat my wife or the way I treat my mother or my brother, as well as the way I treat the children? How can I expect them to adopt a pattern of behaviour and standards of behaviour that I don't actually deliver myself in terms of how the way I interact with them in their world? So it's not fair for me to say, look, you have to behave respectfully, but I don't have to.
Or even the way we speak about our interactions with people around the dinner table can be respectful or disrespectful. Kids pick that up. You know, if you sit around the table and say, oh, that boss of mine is just this, that and the other, and, you know, I'll this and I'll that. Kids are listening to that. And if the boss walks in the door, you're not going to say that to him. You're going to say, oh, hello, you know, nice to see you, you're welcome.
The child is thinking, do you want to know what he just said?
Sometimes they even say that, don't they?
Mom, that's not what you said about Granny just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. So we have to earn the respect of our children.
Yeah. I mean, and also, I mean, if they're treated in a respectful way, well, then obviously it's much more likely that they will accept our exhortations to them to treat others respectfully.
And we've talked about this in other series, Stephen, respect between the spouses, mm-hmm. between husband and wife. Children see that. They mm-hmm. pick up very quickly whether you're dissing your husband or the other way around. Children can see that in an instant and it'll come out someday. Mm-hmm. And you'll realise, oh, why is he speaking like that? you think hard enough, you may well have said something like that yourself. I'm talking about very young children now.
Okay, but obviously we have to show our children respect, but at the same time, we've got to show them who's in charge here.
Yes. I mean, the role of the parent is to be respected, and that's generally understood. I mean, let me give another example as a policeman. You know, I meet my local policeman at the GAA pitch with my son. He has a son, and we talk to each other on first-name terms. But when I meet him, when he's got his uniform on, I refer to him as guard, whatever his name is. So, you know, in a sense, you're respecting the fact that they're in a role, they have a responsibility, and so on. And that is something, you know, that exists between parent and child, in that the role of the parent is a parent, and that a child has a responsibility to be respectful towards the parents, and probably will be so if the parent is treating the child well. But the parent also has a responsibility not to behave disrespectfully towards others and, you know, giving bad example to the child, so that when they talk to the child about being respectful, the child understands that this is the way we behave.
Okay, rule three, learn from mistakes.
You bet. I mean, I you know, have learnt through life's experience and from my reading of the scriptures that it is so important that we acknowledge our failings and our weaknesses, and we endeavor earnestly to address those issues as they arise. I mean, we're not always wrong. And even if people accuse us of being wrong, they're not always right about that either. But when we have done things wrong and when we've made mistakes, we should treat them as opportunities to redress that if we've been unfair in some way towards our children, or if we've just made mistakes in some things that we've done, we should acknowledge them and not pretend to hide and pretend they didn't happen or whatever. Because learning from mistakes is a very important part of growing up. Children need to understand that mistakes are made. Yeah, I mean, we all make mistakes, don't we? And I mean, when we make mistakes, if we own up to them or are honest about with ourselves and with others, then it's an opportunity to say, well, look, I got it wrong. I was wrong. My attitude was wrong. Or, you know, I just made a mistake or something. Our children must be brought up in an environment, if they're going to be healthy, to be allowed to fail. And one of the strong emphasis of Dr. Lehman, which will come out later in this series, and it was in the other series that we did on about having a new kid by Friday, is that in an atmosphere of a home, children have got to be allowed to fail, to make mistakes, because by learning from those mistakes, they realise that they don't always get it right, and also that when you make mistakes, you can get up and go on again to do things better the next time.
Mm.
Because by making mistakes and learning that mistakes are not the end of the story, but they're an opportunity to learn, children learn in the home if the parents are inclined to teach them from their mistakes, not by punishing them and calling them, you know, plonkers for making mistakes, but helping them to get over those, that they learn that they can do better next time.
Yes, well, a child is much more likely to hold the hand up and say, I've made a mistake, if they're treated with firmness and fairness.
Absolutely. And thankfully, yeah, God gives us forgiveness and allows us to make mistakes. And grace, that unmerited favour, I think it goes a long way in a family. If you extend grace to your children when they make mistakes, it doesn't mean you gloss over it and pretend it didn't happen, but just grace allows them to understand that they are tremendously loved, even though they've made a mistake, done something wrong, whatever yes. it is, and you're willing to help them to get up and go on again. And I think if God Almighty is willing to extend grace to us over our failures and our shortcomings, we absolutely, the least we might do for our children is show them the grace of God in their shortcomings and help them to grow up as people who understand the love of God. How can children understand the love of God or the love of the Father, particularly, Stephen, and I know that you're acutely aware of that as a father, you've often spoken about it. How can they understand that if they don't see that given by their own parents, by their own father more particularly? Mm. I think it's vitally important that children are able to say, I really made a mess of that, or I did that wrong.
So once again, it shows how important it is for parents to create an atmosphere within the household where a child actually feels comfortable mm-hmm. in owning up to a mistake. We spoke about the extreme forms of parenting, authoritarian parents and permissive parents. Neither of those styles of parenting would allow a child to feel comfortable in holding the hand up and admitting a mistake.
Sure. I mean, if with an authoritarian parent, they'd probably get punished and for getting something wrong. And the permissive parenting, they'd probably just say, who cares?
Doesn't matter.
So there's no learning. Mm. And there's no growth and no development for the child. I mean, and that's why bringing up children in this environment where you're firm but fair is great for the child, because they're going to be helped to learn by situations which inevitably are going to happen, where they can put up their hand. They don't want to. Nobody wants to admit that they made a mistake or got something wrong, but they will put up their hand and know that they're not going to be punished for it.
Teachable moments, isn't that it?
Yeah.
These are all teachable moments and learning moments.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you're enjoying our series so far and that it is indeed preparing all of us for more of those teachable moments that are no doubt coming to a home near you. You're listening to family.ie, and right after this quick break, we'll be back to think more about being transparent and honest with our family as we work towards bringing up kids without tearing them down. Please don't forget that we'd love to hear from you as well. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886. That's 086 251 6886. And if you've any thoughts, stories or questions about the series for which you need a reply, feel free to email us anytime, radio@family.ie. That's radio@family.ie. This is family.ie, and this is the final segment of today's programme as we think more about bringing up kids without tearing them down. Stephen, Heather and myself have been discussing what Dr. Kevin Lehman suggests are rules to live by if we're to have a functional family. So far today we've examined the need to be firm and fair, ask and give respect, and learn from your mistakes. Now Stephen, we move on to what you see is what you get.
Yeah, this is the whole issue about modelling that we referred to a few moments ago. We are much more likely to be heard for what we do than what we're saying. And that in the course of life's journey, children will realise that their parents are imperfect. And we must be honest with ourselves that we're imperfect. And that even with our imperfections, we're still on an ongoing journey to work together to help one another, so that how they see themselves is largely shaped by the way their parents treat them in the home. And that has a huge influence on how they see themselves. In a sense, if parents are honest with themselves and realise that they're imperfect and that life is a journey and we're making our incremental steps forward through, you know, mistake after mistake and so on, not for making mistakes all the time, but when we do, we're honest about them, then we're able to go on in life's journey and go on to be much better and to make improvements and grow. So we've got to be true and honest with ourselves and with our children, because they see the reality. You know, this is not autocratic, dictatorial parenting, you know, that never allows them any freedom and they can't explore and they can't fail. This is loving your child enough to say, I will be responsible. I will stand up to the mark maybe at times when I have to say no, and I know you're not going to like it and you're not going to even like me, and I might be in the doghouse for a few days. But when I look back on it in years to come, I'll say, thank God that my dad or my mother didn't allow me to go here or there or get involved in this or that, because that kept me safe.
I have a great example. When one of my daughters was quite young, she was invited to a birthday party. She would have been in secondary school at this stage, with a group of girls that she wouldn't have been that comfortable with, but they were loosely her friends in secondary school. This is when we lived in England. And we agreed for her to go to the birthday party, but I have to say I was not sure, and she wasn't that sure either. And later that night, we had a phone call, and the phone call was from my daughter to say, they're going to show such and such a movie, Mum. Will it be all right for me to watch? And I just thought, this child had actually had to go, there was no mobile phones, had to go to the parent in that house and say, I want to ring home to check something. I just thought, I mean, I was so proud of her. The message was to me that this child had really grasped that my concern for her was for her safety. Mm-hmm. You know, it was for her safety, and that it was worthwhile checking it out, because if she didn't, she was going into a dangerous place.
Again, there's nothing passive about parenting. Children don't automatically feel that they're loved.
No.
They have to be shown it.
Yeah. And I mean, those conversations, you know, which sometimes can be tricky, are taking place in the context of a loving environment where profoundly, despite the sort of the emotion of this particular moment, and there might be some conflict with your child on something where you have to say no to them, that they profoundly know that dad loves me, or dad cares for me, or mom is concerned for me and is setting a reasonable standard, because they're not unreasonable parents.
Okay. Walk. Don't just talk your values. That's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of these are built on, if you like, a foundation that we see laid out in the Ten Commandments and also in the Golden Rule, you know, to do unto others as you'd have them do to you. These are the foundations of good behaviour, of good character, of good relationships with both within families and within communities and within society. This is the basis on which our laws are set out as well. These eternal truths work if we adhere to these standards. And parents who are seeking to raise children who are honest and courageous and forgiving and caring and loving and responsible, and they think about others, that happens because parents are walking the walk and not just talking. They're actually living it. So they see the parents modelling these characteristics and these attributes in front of them.
It's really not for wimps. It's really important.
Well, again, you've used that word, wimps. And we've talked about six rules here. And none of them are cakewalks. They are difficult to apply, but it's very, very important, isn't it, Stephen, that in the application of these rules, parents are seen to agree.
Yeah.
Read from the same hymn sheet, so as to speak.
Yeah. And very often a parent, maybe a mother and a father, have a different perspective on something that they regard as important. And therefore the father and mother need to resolve that issue between themselves, because one of them may be completely wrong.
Or they might just have to find some common ground.
Yeah.
You know, because remember, when you bring a family together, you bring two separate families together. So
yes,
a father and a mother might have been brought up very differently with very different views.
Mm.
And when they come together to produce and bring up their own family, they might have to find some compromise and some common ground between them on ways in their history and their genogram that's different. So it's there can be conflict. But it's time is to resolve the conflict when it appears, not let it fester and fester and then become a huge, big problem.
Oh, okay, words like flexibility and compromise have been coming through in the conversation so far, but there have to be absolutes as well in the formation of a functional family.
Yes. You know, in order for a family to function properly, there have to be standards. We are a loving family, for example. That is an absolute.
Yes.
We treat each other with respect. That is an absolute. It's not a negotiable item. You know, we'll decide to do that sometimes, because then you don't know where you stand. The family has got to function on the basis of these eternal values and these eternal truths are in play, so that we respect each other, we honor one another, we build one another up, we speak appropriately to one another, we listen, we communicate.
You know, it would be great if I could turn the clock back all those years and start again and say, well, what are the things we really want our children to imbibe from us, to just know it is as it is, and just, you know, make some notes and share those things with kids as they grow up.
Yeah, everybody knows where they stand.
Absolutely.
Some great thoughts about creating and sustaining a functional family. So what are your thoughts? You might want to be exactly like the Waltons, but hopefully you're not aspiring to be exactly like the Simpsons either. We hope you enjoyed today's programme, and we do value your input. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886. You've been listening to Programme 3 of a five-part series called Bringing Up Kids Without Tearing Them Down, based on the book of the same name by Dr. Kevin Lehman. You can find many of his resources on our website, www.family.ie. Over the last few years, we've made many radio programmes covering areas such as parenting, marriage, relationships and emotions. We hope you'll head over to our website, where you can listen and download some of these programmes absolutely free. Again, that's family.ie. And we invite you to tune in next time for part 4 in our current series. And if your kids are driving you up the wall, you'll definitely want to find a quiet place and join in on the discussion. So until then, on behalf of Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh, I'm Vincent Hughes. Slán agus beannacht libh go léir. Thank you for listening to family.ie.